Brando sofre dista bahande just slowly. La que bosa brande seque brasta valide brahundo se felida brahate. Liga la baste brando sofre legende le brasti kenke la bahasta. Le poca lege lasto brande leve costa brindes afica la dengue. Luba legeke calada sta brando sofre di lequesto polosta pradista. Legela brado sofra diste, keta brande leke tuste frendes, tike la baria tando sofeledi. Legele brondo stofele dista kalida, embro andele kiliba adisa kadide brocosto veliga. Legesti, le procoposta brahados de veledi. Le prosto felegista bahande. Likeke la prosta filiga tahande le prosto falinde esta prandos tunde ketila prande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where's interpretation for that? Please come. Lege dosto prandos of eladista. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sontahina Mosca, he said, do not think that case is hopeless. Do not think it is useless. I am using it and turning things around for your good. You may not see it, you may not understand it, but just follow. It's working for your good. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Casting crowns, lifting hands, bowing down. All we've come to do. Casting crown,
casting crowns,
and lifting hands, bowing down,
and bowing down is all we've come to do.
Casting crown,
casting crown,
lifting hands,
lifting hands,
bowing. Lord, we exalt you this morning. We praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. Thank you because indeed you reign. You reign on high, you reign in our lives. You reign in this church, you reign in this service. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for your word. Thank you because you speak to us as you usually do. You'll help me to speak as your mouthpiece. You help all of us to hear in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 again this morning. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. And I hope I can finish up on what I started the last time on don't be a victim. Can I hear you say don't be a victim? You know, I was remembering several things. I was remembering the story somebody told, how a man traveled, went on holidays with his wife and his mother-in-law to Jerusalem. And while they were in Jerusalem, the mother-in-law unfortunately took ill very suddenly and died. And they asked the man and they said, well, you have two options. We can fly her back to where you came from for $25,000, or you can bury her here for $5,000. You know, and the man thought about it for a short while, and he said, you know what, you fly the corpse back. And they said, well, but we thought it's way more expensive. Why do you want to do that? And the man said, well, you know, I heard that some years ago, a man was buried here, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead. I'm not taking any chances. He said, so let's fly her back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5, are you here? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we read from verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Just as I say that, you know, there are certain things that are implied when you read scriptures, and my mind went very quickly back to Bible school earlier this morning, and the jam question that Mrs. D was asking about how you handle church discipline. And one of the things you'll find in that scripture, apart from the context of it, and it doesn't necessarily mean, even though that was a context I was talking about, elders, you deal with them in the public. But what's related to this that I'm saying is that he used a terminology in there, and he said the elders that are sinning, okay? The elders that are sinning. Sinning means that somebody who is engaged in something and continues to be engaged in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not somebody that did something once or even twice maybe. How many times sinning is left to the church and the people there to determine, but it meant somebody that is. The Amplified will talk about it and say someone who sins and persists in it. So it's not everybody you want to deal with. I mean, Mrs. D, are you getting me now? Yeah, it's not everything and every time you deal with things publicly. However, he was saying that if you find something that persists that way, then you deal with it publicly in order to ensure that you stop it, not just hopefully in that person, but in other people that are doing the same. So it says resist him here, steadfast in the faith. That's why I said that, and that's why I went back to that to say that. Steadfast in the faith gives already an implication that there might be or suggests to us that that resistance is not necessarily momentarily. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means that it's not me just saying I resist the devil once and I expect everything is over. But when it says steadfast in the faith, it means that I ought to stand there in that position of resistance and continue to stand there for as long as it might take. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So very often things are done or people do things and do not get the results simply because they have not done them as they ought to be done. So when it says resist him steadfast in the faith, it implies for us that there might be a fight. It might be a drawn out battle. But if you will stay there resisting, then you will definitely overcome. Can I have an amen? James chapter 4. James the 4th chapter. And verse 7 is our second text that we've been using. He says, therefore, submit to God. Again, here he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word flee means to run as in terror. That is, he will run like he's afraid of you. Okay, very often we're afraid of things that are really actually afraid of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Bible says that in the Old Testament, it said the city of Jericho was securely shut up. Okay, so she's securely locked up because of the children of Israel. So when you look at that, I'm talking about perspectives, okay? You look at it and you say, securely locked up. It looks like those guys are strong. It looks like those guys are ready. But as a matter of fact, when they sent spies into that city, the spies heard from somebody there who said, everybody here is afraid of you because we have heard what God has been doing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even though it was securely shut up, but it was actually out of fear. It wasn't as if they were ready. It wasn't as if they were certain that they could defeat the children of Israel, but they were actually afraid of the children of Israel. Are you hearing me? So very often in whatever situation you might find yourself in life, remember we're talking about don't be a victim. You have to ask God for the right perspective. Actually, let me rephrase that and say you have to spend a lot of time with God and in God's presence for you to get the right perspective. Otherwise, very often, your perspective might be wrong. I think it's Psalm 71 or is it Psalm 73, one of the two. But the psalmist was talking about, and he said, I was looking at what was going on around me, and I saw the wicked were prospering. I saw things were going well for them and all of that. He said, and I was discouraged. He said, until I went to the house of the Lord, then I understood their end. So your perspectives might be very wrong, except you allow God to influence your thinking. Can I have an amen? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was there. He was speaking to children of Israel. Who do men say that I am? And they said, some say this, some say that. He said, but who do you say that I am? What's your viewpoint and perspective? And he said, Peter alone spoke, and said, thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And he said, what? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but the Spirit of God who is in you. And then he began to tell them that he was going to die and the kind of death he was going to die. And the Bible says, Peter took him aside, the same Peter, and rebuked him sharply, that he shouldn't talk like that anymore. And he said, what? Get thee behind me, Satan. He said, because you are not mindful of the things of God, but rather of the things of men. Another one says, because you are not seeing things from God's perspective, but from man's perspective. So every time you get out of God's perspective, you get into a very easy demonic realm where the devil can manipulate you and get you. Have you ever found yourself in situations where something is there and your mind has imagined the worst? Anybody? Something is happening, you don't know what is really happening, but your lack of information has made you begin to imagine the worst. That, oh, I'm sure this has gone wrong. I'm sure that has gone wrong. The trouble is coming from here. Trouble is coming from there. And then at the end of the day, no trouble came from anywhere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know why? Because you are in a realm where the devil wants to manipulate. He wants to influence your thinking. He wants to influence your perspective. And the next thing he wants is that he wants you speaking those things out. Why? Because when God made man, he said, let us make him in our image, but also in our functionality, in our likeness. Let him function the way we function. How does God function? God said, and there was, and God said, and there was, and God said, and there was. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? So he starts by influencing that perspective. So we're saying that life has forces. Life is influenced by forces. So life as it is there. Life is less about the things we see in the physical than it is about the things you see in the spiritual, if you can see them. Are you hearing me? You know, I don't know how long ago I posted something in a WhatsApp group, and it was people who gathered themselves. I think it was in Germany. And they gathered themselves to have a backing meeting. You know, backing. B-A-R-K-I-N-G, backing. You know what dogs do? Back. Woo, woo. So human beings who felt that they were dogs gathered themselves, and there were hundreds of them, and said they wanted to have a backing meeting. So they all sat down on the floor. Woo, 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 human beings. And if you recollect that post, I said, for those who think that there are no demons in the developed world, this is a sure sign that they are demons. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You may see different manifestations and all of that. They may not say it's Haye. They may not call it this or that, but they're there. Actually, as a matter of fact, you have a satanic church, which is very much in the open. It's not hidden. They announce, they do announcement, they do all that. I'm just saying to you that there are spirits controlling the world. But it's either it's God that's influencing you, like God was influencing Peter in one moment, and then a few moments later, Jesus said, "Hey, Satan is beginning to speak through you again." Yeah, the same guy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So the choice we have in not being a victim is to ensure that it's God that influences us at all times. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's to first, and what I did the last time, was to diffuse our minds about the devil. Okay, it was to tell us that, look, the devil is not the issue. The devil is not the factor. He can function in the people in whom or through whom he's functioning, but his authority is limited where you are concerned. How many people remember what we're saying? His authority with you is limited. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Bible says that the whole world lies in wickedness. He said, but you belong to God. Meaning, you are an exception to that wickedness. Are you hearing me? The Bible says we have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put in the kingdom of God's own Son. Meaning that while you live here, he has already, and another translation says he delivered us from the grip of darkness, and he put us in the kingdom of his own Son. So the devil is not the issue. In fact, you know, the way many people think very often is that God and the devil are equal and opposites. You know, so you have God on one side, the devil on the other side, almost like when you have a heavyweight championship, and then you say in the far right corner, we have in red trunks, the one by the name of Lucifer weighing 300 pounds. He's had 30 fights, he's lost none. And then they say on the left side, you see the one in the blue trunks is Almighty God. You hear me? So people think that they're in the same category, but they are not. Are you hearing me? They may be opposites, but they are not equal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They don't belong in the same grade. In the Old Testament, they once took a god. Okay, they fought a battle with the Israelites, and they took the ark of God. Okay, that ark of God usually lies in God's temple, and it signified for the Old Testament Jews, the believers, God's children, it signified the presence of God with them. And when they fought their enemies won and took that ark of God, carried it away, and they took it and they went to put it in the temple of their own God. In 1 Samuel, they put it in the temple of their God. The Bible says that the next day, they got to that temple and that God had fallen, bam, on the floor in front of the ark. And then they looked at it, they say, oh, mistake, what happened? Maybe it was Yamuti that was pounding yam nearby, that the thing fell. So they put it back on his feet, and the thing was standing. Then they came the next day, and the thing had fallen, bah! And this time around, his hands cut off, bah, bah. Then they realized it's not Yamuti. And they said, there's something about this thing that we brought. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God and the devil are opposites, but not equal. God is way bigger. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible says by him all things were made. Whether principalities or powers, including principalities and powers, they were all made by him and for him. Meaning he can do whatever he wants with them. Can I have an amen? And we're saying that the things you need to operate by, at least by inspiration now that I'm led to say to you, are that number one, what the devil uses are tricks to get you to cooperate so that he can function and do the things he wants to do in your life. He can't do them in your life as a child of God simply because he has the power to do them. Are you hearing me? You know, baby, I was thinking, for some days now, and I was thinking about the fact that the authority you have in Christ trumps the power of the devil. Okay? And I was thinking that authority is more important than power. Because very often when you speak this way, people think that, are you trying to say to us that the devil has no power? No, we are not saying he has no power. But we are saying that whatever power he has, you have authority over it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when he said in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, that behold, I give you authority over, to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. So I give you authority. In some translations, you see that word as power. I give you power over all. But the word translated power there is the word authority. So I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why would he say that? Because when he gives you, you see, you function in the authority that has been delegated to you by God. Are you hearing me? And what that means is that when a person is standing and functioning with authority, there is a higher power that is backing him up. That's why his authority trumps the power that anyone or anything he faces. Doesn't matter who or what he faces, the authority or the power that is backing him and giving authority is bigger than what he's faced with. Are you hearing me? I mean, very good illustration that people have given is that every time you get on the road and you see an official of a government, traffic, LASMA, police, whatever you call it, and he stands in the middle of the road and he lifts up his hand, it doesn't even matter if it is a keke marwa that is coming. That marwa can bash that guy and knock him to the floor. The marwa has power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But that guy has what? Authority. And the authority he has is backed by the power and the might of the federal government of Nigeria. That means if you try to knock him down, the government will let loose all of its power upon you. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when the devil is running a wire all over the streets and you stand there and the Bible says resist him and you say stop, he needs to stop. Why? Because God will let loose all of the power and might of heaven if he dares you. Are you still with me, anybody? But the Bible says, beware of the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That word means tricks. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said, we know we have punished a man for sin. He said, but enough is enough, because we are not unaware of the tricks or the wiles of the devil. Why are we watching out for the wiles? Because that's the only way he can get in and get things done in our lives. If we understand the authority that we have as believers. Can I have an amen? And I said to you, the first thing to watch out for that the devil will use is fear. So don't tolerate fear in your life. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Don't tolerate fear in your life. When fear wants to rise about anything, do all you can to get rid of that fear. That's why Paul was writing Timothy and he said, what? We do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. So that fear is not yours. That fear is not legitimate. So don't allow it to stay there. Banish that fear. Can I have an amen? Number two, I'm moving very quickly because I want to wrap this up today and I have three things more to say. Number two is negative speaking. The trick the devil will use, like I was saying earlier about your perspective, is that he wants to influence your thinking. He wants to influence your imagination. He wants to influence all of those things so that ultimately you begin to say those things out with your mouth and you begin to create your world. Hebrews 11 tells us that we know that the worlds, the things that are seen, were made from the things that are not visible, even by the word of God. So as God made us to function like him, when we speak, we create our world. Are you hearing me? And what the devil wants you to do is begin to speak out the fear, begin to speak out the negativity, begin to speak out all of the things that you think will go wrong. And guess what? They will go wrong. But not because the devil is powerful, but simply because he has a very good person cooperating with him. Are you there? Listen, Mark 11, 23. He says, if you will say, so let me back up a little bit. Mark 11, 23 is about faith. Jesus was teaching about faith. But what inspired that teaching was a demonstration. Okay? Jesus had seen a fig tree. The Bible says he went there, he saw leaves on it. He went there, but there were no fruits. Okay? Then he cursed the fig tree, and he said, no man will eat fruit from you evermore, from now, forever. And he went away. And the next day, they were passing by, and Peter said, hey, master, see the tree that you cursed? It's withered up from the roots. And then Jesus began to teach them, Mark 11, 23. And he says, if you will say, so he pointed at another mountain there. So how somebody say, it's not a real mountain he was talking about, it was a real tree. So it's sensible to assume it was a real mountain also. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you can also adjust that symbolically to the mountains in your life. Mountains that you are faced with. Anyhow you want to apply it, that's okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it was a mountain. And he pointed and he said, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Guess what? Jesus was teaching them about how faith works. Because when they were surprised at what had happened to the tree, he said, you have the faith of God. That's verse 22. He said, have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith, or operate in the God kind of faith. So the first thing he then taught them about how the God kind of faith works is that it works through your mouth. The first thing about your faith is that your mouth speaks what you believe. Are you still there? I said, are you there? I was listening to Mark Hankins, and he said something that I liked. He said God was, telling him something. And he said, Mark 11, 23 would have been very, very different and maybe believed if only I added two more words to it. And he said, God, what is that? And God said, in church. If you will say in church to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. So guess what? Everybody says it right in church. But he didn't put in church there. Can I look at your neighbor and say he didn't put in church? It means what you say everywhere, every time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Makes all the difference in the world. If you will believe it and not doubt in your heart, but you will believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Are you hearing me? God wants your mouth, and the devil wants it too. There are people who say all kinds of things about their spouse, husband, wife, those who say all kinds of things about their children, those who say all kinds of things about their work, and they wonder why nothing is working in all of those areas. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You wake up, you look at a child who misbehaves, say, olori buruku ni womo. That means you're a child with what? Bad head. Is it bad head? You say you're just a stupid boy. I don't know why you are. No. He might have done a stupid thing, but be careful about calling him a stupid boy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, you might say that was a stupid thing you just did. But when you say you are a stupid boy, that's different now. That's beginning to call those things that be not as though they were, and you're calling it into existence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? What are you saying about the circumstances of your life? About the people around you? Kennedy again said when he used to pastor, he went to a lady's house, they invite you for lunch. He went there and he had the way to talk. And then he would come to church and say, pray for my husband. He's not saved. Let's pray for my husband. And he said, we're not praying for your husband. You are the problem. The way you talk is why your husband is not saved. It's even why he's not coming to church. The way you run down your husband, you run down everybody, you even run down members of the church. He says, so it's your negativity that's keeping him away. He doesn't want any part of that. You've run down everything possible. Are you still there? There are people who do the same with their jobs. This stupid job. I don't even know what I'm doing here. The salary itself is terrible. You know, it will continue to be a stupid job. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But other people are prospering in that stupid job. Are you there? Whatever might be wrong with it, why don't you change it and say, I am here. God says that he will command his blessing upon all I lay my hands upon to do. So since I am here and this is what I'm laying my hands upon to do, God's blessing comes upon this business, comes upon this office. This place will prosper because I am here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When Jacob was leaving Laban, he worked for Laban. When he wanted to leave Laban, Laban said, please don't go. He said, because I have discovered by experience that God is blessing me for your sake. I've discovered that something is happening to my business because you work for me. Please don't go. Are you still with me, anybody? Go with me to the book of James. James chapter 3. You should be in James still, isn't it? James chapter 3. Let's read. So one of the ways in life that the devil makes us to become victims is by our negative speaking. It gets you to begin to speak. You know, one of the excuses people have is, I'm just expressing myself. You don't need to express everything. Are you hearing me? And only a fool expresses all of his heart. That's what the Bible says. You don't need to express everything. There are things you keep inside, you swallow them, you only put them out in prayer and clear them in the place of prayer. Because when you say them, you give force to them. Are you still with me? Look at James chapter 3. From verse 2. The Bible says we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle what? The whole body. So the real maturity, when he says a perfect man, means mature. Maturity, a good sign of maturity is how you use your mouth, your tongue. Your ability to control. There are things you want to say and you just... they say, what did you want to say? Don't worry. Because you cut yourself. That now, it's not going to come out of my mouth. Are you still there? He says, but that body, if you can control that tongue, it bridles or the whole body. Look at verse 6. He says, the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. What's he saying? He's saying whatever you are saying will affect your whole body. Are you hearing me? Some people talk too much sickness, so they're always sick. So you are having what you say. Are you still there? I say every December I'm always sick. Every December. And then when they become sick in December, I say, see, I told you. I told you that I'm always sick every December. You are right. It's working. But what's working is what you didn't understand, which is that your tongue is working. As the Bible says, it will work. Are you there? It says, and it sets on fire the course of nature, meaning that it can completely disrupt the course of nature. It can change the direction of things. It can affect the directions of things in your life. Your tongue can do so. I had a story told about the late Pastor Yonggi Cho in South Korea. And he was having lunch with a neurosurgeon many years back. And the neurosurgeon said to him, you know, Pastor Cho, we just made a spectacular discovery. He said, what is that? He said, we discovered that the tongue or the speech center in the brain is connected to the whole body. He said, really? He said, yes. He said, but I already knew that. The man said, I'm telling you about cutting edge research discovery. We just discovered that now. He said, when we are operating and we probe any part of the brain, there are certain parts of the body that will respond. He said, but when we get to the speech center, if we probe it, the whole body responds. He said, that is a new discovery we just had now. And Yonggi Cho said, I knew that all along. He said, you can't possibly have known that all along. He said, I knew it. He said, how did you know it? He said, Dr. James. He said, Dr. James? He said, yeah, Dr. James, New Testament. Are you still there? The tongue, it bridles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. Listen, you are your own prophet. Are you there? The biggest thing that matters, people worry too much about what somebody said about them. This one said this about me. This one said that about me. You know, I don't like what he said about me. What he said about you can happen to you now. Are you hear what I'm saying? What you say about yourself is what you need to watch out for the most. Are you still there? I said, are you there? But it starts with your thoughts. So in Matthew chapter 12, you know, it's Sunday, we have to rush a bit. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus was teaching it. And his actual teaching was about your mouth. You know, when he started talking about you make a tree good and then the fruit will be good. You remember that scripture? It says you cannot get good fruits from a bad tree. And you can't get bad fruits from a good tree. Matthew 12, 33 down to 36. You know, but what he was then saying was that he then said it's either you make the tree good and then the fruit will be good. Are you hearing me? Or you make the tree bad, then the fruit will be bad. He said, therefore, verse 36, if you read Matthew chapter 12, if you go to verse 36, just clearly verse 36, I think you're already there. Verse 36 says, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. The word idle there means unemployed. It means that every word you speak, even unintentionally, you will give account of it. It means speaking carelessly. You know what I mean? You just talk. You just say anything. I'm just talking. We're just having fun. I'm just joking. He said, no. For every unemployed word, unemployed means it's not designated, you will still give account for it. So if you take it in context, what is he then saying? He's saying your best bet is work on the content of your heart. Are you hearing me? If you are going to beat this and get this right all of the time, walk on the content of your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life. One says, out of it comes your life. Are you there? And even furthermore, Matthew 12, when Jesus was speaking there, he began to say, Matthew 15 it was, he said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. He said, but what comes out of his mouth is what defiles him. He said, because what goes in, he eats and he excretes it. He said, but what comes out of him makes, the word defile means commonizes him. So what comes out of him is what commonizes him, is what reduces him. He said, because out of that man, out of his heart, will come adultery, will come robbery, will come murder. It means that the things that are inside of you are going to come out of you. And the biggest thing you can do for yourself is begin to work on the things that get inside of you. Are you with me? You know when they do movies, they have the content board, Abby, that will say, this is what, rated 15, rated 12, rated, you better be your own content management board. Are you there? My wife always complains. I say, what they rate 15 self is still too bad. You be your own content management board and determine what is good enough for your own consumption. And indeed, even how much of it you need to consume. Are you there? But rather fill up on God's word. And automatically, you will find yourself speaking in line with what God has said. So don't worry too much about just, I must make a positive confession. No. Spend enough time filling up on God's word, and it will automatically change the way you think and the way you speak. Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell richly in you. Richly in you, not small, small. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So if you will not be a victim in this life, but you reign as God has planned, then you'll have to ensure that you manage or you get rid of negative speaking. Number three. So number one was fear. Number two, negative speaking. Number three is isolation. Let's open our Bibles. Let's read a few scriptures. Isolation. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. I think I was speaking some time back on life is about relationships. You know, relationship with God, number one, and relationship with men, number two. But life is about relationships. Everybody who isolates themselves are going to be in trouble. Are you with me? I think that was the scripture put up also in the WhatsApp group this morning. You know, quoted, it was about isolation. I read that and I laughed. You know, when you think that you have every excuse to avoid connecting, you know, with believers, when you find it easy to withdraw, you know, when you think that, well, you know, I'm tired today, I just sleep at home, watch out. When the gathering of the believers or the connectivity to believers is not as important to you, be careful. Are you hearing me? I was speaking the last time about how the lion hunts. The Bible describes the devil like a lion. He's not a lion, but like a lion. He was using the similitude to say this is how he operates. And I said what the lion does is that he attacks a herd of animals. And when he attacks, he's not trying to catch every animal there. He's watching out. As he chases, he roars and he chases, he's looking for the weak point. And when he's running after them, he's looking for one animal that is going to move out of the pack. If one moves out of a pack, he leaves everyone alone. He goes after that one. Are you hearing me? Because that one has been isolated. Guess what? I was watching one day, one of those wildlife things. And it was a lion being beaten to death by a pack of buffaloes. They were just knocking the thing. Even me, I was beating the lion. But the commentator said that this lion made the error of going after a pack of buffaloes alone. That no lion will make that error. That you went after this group of buffaloes by yourself. It was a death sentence. And they killed the lion neat. Are you there? People that feel that, hey, I don't need anybody. I don't need anybody. You will soon find out. Are you with me? The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, it said that they took the disciples after they did a good thing of raising a man who was crippled, and then they beat them, then they released them. And when they released them, the Bible says they went back to their own company. One says they went back to their own companions and they told them all that had happened to them, and they lifted up, not just those people's voices, but they all lifted up their voices and prayed. And the place where they was shaking, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What was happening to them? They were discouraged. They were discouraged. They had been arrested. They had just been filled with the Holy Ghost. They had just performed a miracle and raised a man that was standing by the gate to the temple. And then they were arrested for that good deed, that mighty deed. And they were questioned vehemently and flogged. Have you seen where an adult is being flogged before? Eh? You know what is pain? It's not even just the pain alone. You understand? The disgrace, the dignity, when you are flogging an adult, is double pain. You understand what I'm saying? Double pain. I was watching one, it was all these bandits. I caught one guy, and then they were flogging the guy, and they put on the phone to the relatives. Oh, even me, I wanted to cry. Because it's double pain. So they flogged these guys, they were discouraged. But being let go, the Bible said, they went to their own companions and told them everything that had happened, and everybody began to pray, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the place where they was shaken. What did they pray? They said, God, grant your servants boldness. So they were becoming timid. They were saying, we won't do this again, oh. We won't try this again, oh. The suffering we suffer today. But they prayed and said, grant your servants boldness. Are you hearing me? When you run into trouble, where do you go? Who are your companions? Many years ago, I saw one brother in church in Ibadan. And it's only on the road that I see him. In church, most services, you would not find him. And when he sees me, my pastor! I said, don't lie. Don't lie. I am not your pastor. Please don't tell any lie here. Greet me. We are brothers, we are friends, but I'm not your pastor. That one is a lie before God and man. Because I don't know you. I don't know what's happening to you. When last did I see you? In church. Are you hearing me? This is the only way place I've seen you on the road after how many months. Then you say, my pastor, how can I be? Are you still with me? Proverbs 18 verse 1. The Bible says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, he rages against all wise judgment, meaning that it is unwise. Complete, it will make unwise decision, unwise moves. Remember when it says that in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. With wise counsel, which war? When you isolate yourself, there's trouble. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, which we know very much. Verse 25, we know it very much. Do not forsake the gathering of yourselves together, but do so much more as you see the day approaching. But verse 24 is important. Verse 24 says that we should, we should gather together so that we, it says, do not forget to provoke one another to love and to good works. So that is why he now said in verse 24, that don't forsake the gathering of one another. Why? Because when we come together, we are provoked. Can I hear you say we are provoked? We are provoked to love and to good works. And the word provoke means that you are made to do something that you probably wouldn't have done. You are made to be in a state that you probably wouldn't have been. So when somebody says, they see somebody fighting and these guys are beating them, and you separate them and say, why? He said, the guy provoked me. What is he saying? He's saying, I would not have been fighting. He made me fight. I would not have been walking in love. I would not have been doing good works. But by gathering with the believers, I have been provoked. Are you there? So when you come to church, something stirs you. The singing moves you. The message moves you. Something is, oh, you're even just seeing a brother and the way he smiles. And you're thinking, wow, somebody can be like this. And that's all that has stirred you up. And you go back home and you say, God, I want to be like that. Listen, I went through those kind of things. That's why I'm giving that example. I used to frown a lot when I was in the university. Frown. I was like a military guy. You know, back then, you probably won't believe me now. You know, but I was tough. And I put a sign in front of my door one day. I said, if you have nothing to do, don't come and do it here. One of my friends got to the door, he removed the thing. He said, you this guy, already they're afraid of you. Now put this kind of sign again on your door. Are you there? But there was a lady, every time I saw her, she would smile and greet. Hello, how are you? And that smile was so godly. And one day I went home, I said, God, I repent. Because this one, the way she greets, you know, if you had trouble, the trouble will fly away. I said, I repent. It looks like me, I've been doing the opposite to people. And I told her years later, I told her the testimony. I said, God used you to change my life. Are you there? That's provoked. Okay? And that's what happens to us when we gather together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. If you will not be a victim, don't isolate yourself. Don't sit by yourself. In fact, sometimes there are troubles you need to be able to share with people. Sometimes they can't give you money, they can't give you whatever, but they can listen to you. Sometimes they can pray with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've had people before who have said to me, oh, there's this need, that need, and they talked about what they needed. I think I remember one right now, it was huge financial need. And I said, I have nothing like that. I said, but I knew she wasn't saying I should give her the money. I said, but guess what? I'm going to give you this tiny amount of money. When they brought the boys food, when Jesus said, feed them. And he said, what is this among so many? I said, I'll give you this money. I said, and don't say, what is this among many? I said, I'm going to pray with you. I said, and this seed will bring money your way. And that's exactly what happened to her. And money began to come and met that need. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In fact, that happened to her a second time. She was out of the country in another church. We'll talk about the issues. I said, I went to the pastor and I told him all the issues that I was facing and all of that day. And the man said, you know what? I'll give you this tiny amount of money, he said, and I remembered what happened the other time, and exactly the same thing happened again. He said, and I will pray with you. Are you there? But that's the power of having a group. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe means cost. Cost is he who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me move very quickly to the last point. And that last point, I simply call it victimitis. We use itis in medicine. It just means that something is inflamed. So inflamed means that probably you have an infection, most likely, but it's part of the reactions there. It means that you have a victim mentality. Your victim mentality is inflamed. That's victimitis. I actually picked up the word. It's not my creation. I was in South Africa many years ago, and I was talking to these motivational, but they're believers, you know, teachers, blah, blah, blah. And we're talking, and they talked about victimitis. And I said, oh, really? Well, when somebody has a victim mentality, when you come across somebody, you say, hey, everything's against me. Nothing ever works for me. I don't even understand life. I don't even know why nothing ever works. Me, I never have favor. That's victimitis. Are you hearing me? And when you have a victim mentality, then that is the devil walking on you. Can Kennedy put it that way? He said, every time you start feeling sorry for yourself, know that the devil is working on your case. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every time you start feeling sorry for yourself, know that the devil is working on you. He's trying to get you prepared for something. So that victim mentality, you must perish it immediately. Are you hearing me? We might call it complaining, but it's super dangerous. It's not innocuous. It's not innocent complaining. It is very dangerous as a nuclear bomb. Are you still there? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Somebody said, but what when things are not really working well? You don't have to complain. When they needed food, like I referred to John chapter 6, when they needed food, and Jesus said, give them something to eat. They said, well, we don't have anything to eat. Where will we get anything for them in this wilderness? And then they said, but they have this boys' lunch. But as they offered the boys' lunch, they also with their own mouths were running down the lunch. Abi? They said, but what is this among so many? What do you have? He said, what do you have here? They said, well, we have nothing but a little boys' lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, but what is that among so many? Nobody asked you for an opinion. He only asked you, what do you have here? We have this little boy's lunch, sir. But victimitis makes them run it down immediately. What is it among so many? But what they said, what is it among so many? It was a bad situation. The Bible says when Jesus took it, he blessed it. Can I hear you say he blessed it? He blessed it. He took the thing that looked like nothing. He took the situation that looked like trouble. And he gave thanks to God. Are you still there? Listen, in your circumstance, there are things that are working for you. As somebody once complaining, you know, there are too many bills. And this happened. I had to pay this bill. And that happened. I had to pay that bill. That one happened. I had to pay that bill. I said, and so what? Say, it's too much. I said, but you had money to pay. You had money to pay it. What if the bill came and you had nothing? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, the bill was coming and you were paying. That's good now. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? That there's still room. I mean, your boss will say he left room for thanksgiving. There's still enough room for you to give thanks in that situation. Yeah, those things were disheartening. They were not happy things and all of that. But you could pay. That was room for thanksgiving. The fact to say, Lord, I thank you. Maybe it was a hospital bill, huge. All of a sudden you were sick and you had to pay this huge hospital bill. Say, oh, money that I've been saving. My friend, what if you were sick like that and there was no money? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So there's room for thanksgiving. There's room to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you because that came and I was fine. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. It said, now these things became our examples. Just like Romans 15:4. Abi? The things that were written for our learning. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. These things became our examples to the intent that they should not lust after evil things as they, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor, can you see the issues? Number one, sexual immorality. Number two, number one was they were there playing, rose up, they were just playing, they were carefree. Number two, they committed sexual immorality. Number three, they tempted Christ. Number four, it says, nor complain. Can I hear say complain? He said, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. The consequence was they were destroyed by the destroyer. Are you with me? Go to Psalm 77. So what was that saying? The complaining opened the door for the destroyer to destroy them. Psalm 77. I'm wrapping up now. Psalm 77. Are you there? Verse 3. He said, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. And what happened? My spirit was overwhelmed. Proverbs 18:14 says, a man's spirit will sustain his infirmities, but a broken spirit who can bear? He said, when I complained, my spirit was overwhelmed. Complaining allows you to be overwhelmed by your situation. What you would have been able to withstand, you will suddenly lose all hope, all power, all strength within because you are complaining. Listen, when people sit down and they just want to complain, I excuse myself. I find a way to excuse myself very quickly because I know it's a dangerous environment. Are you still there? I said, are you there? Okay, let's close it on an instructional note. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Have you discovered that when you have complaining fellowships with people, that you leave there very tired? Have you? When you sit with people and they complain, how everything is going wrong, how things are so difficult. When you leave, you are super tired. It's like you have been carrying a... weight, Abby. Like you've been carrying weight. It's tiring. You live there and you're thinking, what can man do now? You that you are still half hopeful before. You are tired mentally, psychologically, tired physically. You are just tired. Are you still with me, anybody? So Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining and disputing. If it has to be done, do it. Full stop. Are you hearing me? I don't bother. That thing. Oh, it's so difficult. But you still have to do it. Better just do it. All your complaining will make it more difficult. Are you hearing me? I have to go to that place. Start going now. Start going now. All this, you're standing there and complaining. You may have to go all the way. When, you know, as you say all the way, you feel the energy is leaving you. So the small energy you have left, put it here and start going right now, immediately. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Instead of sitting there and say, all the way, and then all the way back. Are you with me? So if the devil won't get you, if you won't be a victim in life, deal with fear, deal with negative speaking, don't isolate yourself. And don't complain. Let's stand on our feet. Watch out for victimitis. Don't allow that mentality that things are against me. Everything is against me. I don't have this. I don't know. Life just doesn't favor me. Me like this. I don't know why my life is like that. When everything, if they are sharing something, if they are sharing food in the party, it will always end just before it reaches me. Victimitis. Once you carry that in your head, listen, it will be happening. It will be happening. Then you'll be telling us that you see, it's victimitis that is now manifesting negative speaking, and it will work. Are you there? Listen, when I'm going, if I'm traveling or whatever, I expect favor. In fact, if I'm taking it, so I say, are you not supposed to upgrade me to business class? The people laugh. They say, ha-ha. I say, because that's, I expect that if you will do any such thing, it will be me. Are you hear what I'm saying? I expect it will be me. I don't expect you will be hard or difficult or wicked to me. I expect you will be, you want to favor me. Because surely that will bless the righteous, the Bible says, Psalm 5 verse 12. And with favor you surround him as with a shield. Talk to God this morning. I don't know what part of all of that, you know, applies to you and what you need to do about anything. But whatever you do, you need to do it now first in God's presence. While we do that, if there's anybody here that's sick in your body, let me pray with you very quickly. You're sick in your body very quickly. Just lift your hand. Let me see if there's anyone, and I'll pray with you quickly. Quickly, just take a step or two out. Let me pray with you. Just very, very quickly. I want to move on. Drop the mic. Let's pray with you. Because years ago, I began to feel a tangible healing anointing on my hand. I felt God saying, yeah, you pray many ways, but I want you to lay hands on people more than you have been doing. I want you to pray and lay hands on people because that unction was given for a reason. So, Father, we thank you for everyone who's out here. We pray that as these hands come upon them, your tangible healing anointing comes upon them, makes them every bit whole from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just hold my hand when you're ready. Thank you for your mighty touch upon him. Yeah, that's it. Just went right through you. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, the power of God makes you whole every bit. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your touch. Just went right through you now. Just went right through you now. Just went right through you now. Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Don't touch her. Spicing on her, don't touch. Just lay her down, break that fall quietly and gently. Just break that fall. Father, thank you for your mighty hand upon her. I rebuke sickness, I rebuke every disease by the power of God. And that's it, just went right through you. Just take that in. Yeah, just went right through you. Makes you every bit whole. Makes you every bit whole. Makes you every bit whole. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your power goes right through her. Causes her to be made whole. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's it. Just take it in. Don't be afraid of that. I rebuke every disease. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Rebuke every disease, every infirmity. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. That increases all through her. Yeah, drives out everything. Drives out everything. Take it all in, Lord. Just take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Just take it in. Don't hold. Don't. Just take it all in. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're here, online, wherever, you need to make peace with God, please do so right now where you are. Put your right hand on your chest right where you are, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. Everybody who's still praying, whatever you've heard today. But if you're here, you want to make peace with God, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I'm here today. I acknowledge you as my Savior. I acknowledge you as my Lord. I am giving my life to you. I want you to rule and reign in my life. Just as you gave yours for me on the cross, I also offer my life back to you today. Amen. Father, thank you for everyone who's done that. Thank you for helping them to stand strong and to draw near to you more and more with each passing day. We give you the praise and the glory, for they are saved and they grow in the faith. In Jesus' name, we pray.